What's up, everybody? Welcome to Draft Chaff. This is episode number 195. My name is Zach. I'm one of your hosts. And joining me, as per usual, Ben Fisher. What's up, dude?
Not too much. Today, well, we've got some good news, some bad news, and some great news.
But before we get to all of that news, of course, our usual housekeeping. If you're not already in the Discord, do check it out. It's the best place to be to chat all things MTG. Come say hi. We'd love to see you in there. Post about your trophy decks, your what's the picks, all sorts of stuff like that. And you can check out our bounty boards where you can reach achievements or claim bounties, as we call it, and get some real packs in the mail. So check that out. The link to that is in the episode description as well as on our Twitter page. And if you'd like to support the show directly, maybe help us boost those rewards for the bounty boards, check out the Patreon at patreon.com/draftchaffpod. Huge thanks to all of our patrons who continue to support us each and every week. You guys rock. All right. And with that, I mean, we kind of are going to segue into some of the good news in that, well, we don't have a Cracker Draft type thing because we're doing a full draft for you today.
This is good news.
This is good news. Not just any draft, mind you. Ben and I are going to do a quick draft stipulation draft where Ben's going to have to draft every single rare he comes across and try to come together with a cohesive deck.
Yeah.
Now, of course, we're playing with play boosters, so that means we're going to see a lot of rares. Ben, you'll get a choice when you see multiple rares. But that said, you have to take a rare if there are any in the pack.
Take, and I think, to, in the spirit of stipulation, you got to play them. Play. I just hope I don't open Anzrag's Rampage. That would be awful. I do hope I kind of like open Niv Pack 1. That would be ideal.
Would be pretty sweet.
Happened with Mia. Could happen again, right?
I do have to say, I mean, as a benefit to you, right? Just a little reminder. I know this will make you feel really good. You don't have any Mycosynth lattices to open, so.
Yeah, and let's just say the stipulation's going swimmingly so far. This is the best card in the set, Aurelia's Vindicator. So things are off to a good start. This is definitely the goodest of good news. I'm not going to look at the rest of the pack. So we're gonna put a Cryptex in our deck. This card does less than nothing. This card does one thing. If you can have a black green Insidious Roots deck, this is a repeatable way to collect evidence to float one mana. Yeah, no, sure. This card is so bad. Oh hey, look, God.
If you're gonna open the Vindicator. At least, you know, we've got both ends of the spectrum here, a wide gambit of potential playability.
Yeah, and here we have a pack with no rares in it. So honestly, it's only going to be the first like three or four picks, I think, of most packs that are the really scary ones for me. I think here we probably just slam Case. I like Gravestone Strider too, but look, if we're doing this, I'm going to wind up with all colors of the rainbow in my deck. And I would like to wheel the Strider, but Case has some fun combos with stuff like... Also, hold on. If this is like a rarity stipulation, this doesn't apply to uncommons, right? I can still pick commons over uncommons.
Ooh, we didn't specify. We had specified the stipulation as it has to be a rare, but I kind of like it has to be the highest rarity in the pack.
I unfortunately agree.
Which means if you see a mythic and a rare, you have to take the mythic.
Interesting. Just okay. FYI. Okay. Yeah. What if I see a list card? Those are, I think, rare.
Ooh, list is definitely above common for sure.
Yeah.
What's the chance you open a list card? I'm going to pull this up because we've got time since it's a quick draft.
Well, here I have some garbage. I think maybe Tin Street Gossip could work out. I mean, some good comments here. Bite Down on Crime, Out Cold, Total Tipster. I'd kill for a tipster with all whatever nonsense this is looking like. But I think Tin Street Gossip might actually work. I could take the Bulrut Clan Basher, but maybe I can get in like a Naya like face down deck. I mean, flipping Vindicator face up with Tin Street Gossip is pretty sick. You just get two extra mana, exile two extra things.
Okay, so it's 12.5% to get a list card.
Okay.
And it's 6 out of 7. Times you'll get a rare, 1 out of 7 times you'll get a mythic in the rare slot.
So I take a list mythic over basically everything, and then a list rare over regular rares, and a list uncommon over list commons, and so on. Okay, that works that out.
One thing to clarify too is that special guest cards, which are technically in the list slot, have the same chance of appearing as any normal rare or mythic rare from the list. So you don't have to take special guests over any other list rare, but I don't think you'll see them in the same pack.
Anyway. I don't think I'm going to, it's very rare that I see those in the first place. Also here, this pack is rough. I have to take either Knife, Clandestine Meddler, or Forum Familiar. I guess Forum Familiar could work out with Vindicator. This card sucks. I don't like it very much. In black white, you can do some interesting things with it. If you're doing like a block and bounce type of thing, I would have killed for that escape tunnel. Ooh, okay. Here's some action. Evidence Examiner, blue green. I actually do like a lot in this set. I had a sick blue green deck yesterday with double Kellen, Vanifar, Cryptic Coat. It was messed up. I actually didn't trophy with it. There was a good red white deck I played against that kind of just ran me over. But I think I take the Examiner here. Just like a good little value card, and we're not super close to black, red, or blue. Passing a shot kind of is rough though. Oh man. Okay, so
the stipulation may just actually be really awful.
This is like beating me over the head with a wrench, which is what I have to take here. But I could be taking a Tipster, an Exit. Honestly, I think I would rather play literally any of these other cards in the deck, but I'm not gonna break the stipulation. Oh, and here I have to take a Hedge Whisper over Outcold, over Extract. If I get a single win with this deck, it'll be kind of ridiculous. Rope or Meddler? Ugh.
Wow, yeah, the uncommons are still in the pack, like, really late. I kind of forgot how bad some of the uncommons in the set are.
Ooh, hold on. Okay, Chalk Outline Wield. Not that that's a surprise, but Chalk Outline with Cryptex is kind of sick. Whenever one or more creature cards leave your graveyard, create a 2-2 white and blue detective, then investigate. Cryptex is a repeatable investigator, a repeatable evidence collector. So, now, Scene of the Crime is just a 5-color land, but it's kind of slow. You need to tap something. Hedge Whisper also works with Chalk Outline. I think I'm going to... Look, if this isn't a time to do a Chalk Outline deck, I don't know what it is. Oh, wow, we wield Gravestone Strider. Okay. And look then here we have... Okay, well, I'm probably not taking any removal spells at all this draft, so a Pick Your Poison might kind of have to be like my removal spell.
That's pretty much the, like that's the name of the deck. This whole draft, just pick your poison.
Pretty much just picking my poison. And before I open up pack two, we unfortunately probably should get to the bad news, right?
We do have some bad news.
Yeah, I'll slight the alibi for now.
So... Yeah, we do have some bad news, and it's pretty bittersweet as well. And I don't even really know how to go about talking about it. But
rip off the Band-Aid.
Just rip the Band-Aid off. The bad news is that I am unfortunately going to be leaving the show, and that may raise a bunch of question marks. We're going to probably spend most of the rest of the draft talking through some of those questions in some capacity. But I think probably the first and most prominent is why, or at least why now. And if you're new to the show, this is a weird episode for you to be starting on, I suppose.
If
but
this is your first episode. Sorry.
Yeah. But the show's been around for almost, are we in our fourth year? I think we're in our fourth year. We're going to hit our fourth anniversary in a few months.
Yeah.
So we would have been starting year five. So we've been doing the show for about 4 years, about 5 years even. And a lot has changed in life since we started the show. Originally, the show started as a way for Ben and I to just be like, I mean, functionally, the conversation was more or less, hey, dude, we talk about Magic all the time. Why don't we just record it, post it, and maybe someone will get something out of it.
Rope someone else in on the conversation. Yeah.
And that was how the show started. And we've been having a blast with it. We built this whole community in the Discord. We have supporters on Patreon, which is still like ridiculous. Like, no, I don't think we ever really get used to the fact that there are people supporting us financially in some capacity.
Yeah.
And like we have more views than we thought we would get, or more listens than we thought we would get when we started the show. But it's interesting that as things progress and the longer you do something, the more kind of expectations change. And I think for me personally, the show hasn't grown the way I've wanted it to. And more importantly, I've kind of stopped liking Magic. And I told, you know, I talked to Ben about this actually a few times over the last couple of years. This is not something that has come up. This isn't coming up for the first time. I think maybe this is the third or fourth time I've brought this up that, like, hey, I think I want to leave.
Maybe third, yeah.
Over probably the last year and a half or 2 years. And some of those times, I think it was really just a bad set, or like a set I didn't resonate with. And so I wasn't drafting much and just was kind of off it. But that's been happening more and more regularly for me. And we've gotten a few sets in a row, basically since Mom. Mom was the last set that I was, like, really enthusiastic about, where I'll draft like maybe one or two, maybe three times, and then just not play the format again and have no desire to do so. And in fact, I haven't drafted MKM at all. I haven't picked up Magic since pre-release of LCI. And I don't really have any desire to do so. And so that makes recording the show difficult, because while Ben and I have a great time and it's fun to chat about pretty much anything with Ben, I don't have the knowledge or, like, homework done to actually have a valuable conversation around the topics we talk about on this show. And so it's become a chore. Like, the show, recording the show in general has become a chore. Editing has been a lot more time consuming than I'd like it to be. And my career has changed a lot this year, which means my calendar is far more stringent than it has been in the past. So I have a lot less free time. And so mixing, having a lot less free time, having a lot more going on in my life, and the show feeling like a chore, I felt that it was the right time to step away.
Now, I have some questions, mostly ones that I know the answer to, but ones that I think probably the listener is wondering. Before we do,
slam
an Aurelia. this is sort of like, this is like the equivalent of, like, I don't know. What is this like? Sort of like your friends taking you out to dinner, like, after you go and throw a breakup or something. It's like, oh, look, like, we'll buy you this nice thing. Sorry, this is going on. But this is like us being like, look, listener, look at this fun dangle the live draft. No, here I don't even know what I'm going to take. Probably a case. I guess we're playing red. But I guess I want to touch on the aspect of not really enjoying the game anymore. And I think this isn't a bad thing. I think it would actually be worse if people's interests didn't grow and evolve over many years, especially over 5 years, like the span of time we've been doing the show. I don't think it's abnormal to have interests shift over that amount of time. I can certainly say my interest in how I've engaged with Magic has shifted over time as well. From, you know, I don't really touch Commander much anymore, for a variety of reasons. Some is that I just don't have the time or the play group, whatever. But as sort of like the vibes have shifted in within the community, I just haven't really had the same interest in it. Plus, there's just too many cards now anyway. I can't keep up with all that. And like other things like Cube have gotten more appealing, and I've gotten more into competitive Magic. What I wanted to ask was, like, how do you feel that Magic has affected this shift? Do you feel like it's an entirely personal shift, or do you feel like yourself one of the victims of the ever increasing card complexity or rate which set releases?
Yeah, I mean, the set release fatigue is real. I will definitely say that has been, particularly as content creators, right? Because we have to pay a lot more attention. If we want to make a good show, we have to pay a lot more attention to the sets than, shall I say, like, the average consumer of the game. So that's definitely been a part of it. I'm feeling the fatigue a lot more than I think I was expecting to as the, like, sets ramped up. And I think part of it too was recognizing, like, taking the time to sit down and just recognize that, like, okay, in my free time, sure, all this stuff is happening in my life. I have a lot less free time. That's kind of the position I find myself in. With that free time, what do I find myself wanting to do with it?
Mm-hmm.
Magic is never in the top 10 of that list. Or at least, I shouldn't say never, but as I'm contemplating that recently, it hasn't been in the top 10 of that list for probably the better part of the last year. And that being the case, you know, there's a book that I'm a big fan of called Hell Yeah or No by Derek Sivers. And functionally, it boils down to what it said, like what it says on the tin. Mm-hmm. The whole book can be boiled down to this idea that, like, when you're presented with a choice, if your immediate response is not hell yes, your response should be no thank you. Because mm-hmm. we have way too many choices in our lives. We have way too many things that are competing for our attention, our time, our energy. And if you try to say yes to everything, you'll end up really not being able to devote yourself to anything at all.
Yeah.
And unfortunately, as a part of the time constraint, as well as the direction the game has been moving, the direction that WotC's been changing things, the mixture of those two things have made it such that Magic is just something I have to say no thank you to right now.
Speaking of saying hell yeah to choices, I slammed the torch to the witness, a case of the burning masks, and we're playing Jund White here, I think, because I'm going to slam an Insidious Roots. Combos with the Cryptex, pairs well with the Chalk Outline. This deck is absolutely garbage. I don't know what's going to happen with cuts, but... Oh, and now look, I can get a... Do we have any enchantments?
We've got the one case.
We have five. Why do we have five enchantments? Wow. One aura, two cases. That doesn't add up to five.
Nope.
Chalk Outline. Oh, okay. I guess because this is a non-case, non-aura enchantment. So we have Chalk Outline, Airtight Alibi. Polygraph Orb is actually pretty sick with Insidious Roots. You get to surveil or collect evidence over and over again. Same with Chalk Outline.
I suppose also... Like, because we changed the stipulation, sort of, instead of just taking the rare, you have to take the high, like a card of highest rarity. Probably don't have to actually play every card you take.
I think if I was playing every single card I took, I don't actually think the deck would. It just wouldn't be a deck. It would just be like a non-functional pile of garbage.
I suppose we could also say that once you're halfway through the pack, you can take whatever you want just to give you a functional deck, because it feels like this deck won't actually play. But I don't know if we want to make any adjustments to the thing. Halfway through pack two.
What, you don't think my deck needs a lead pipe or a rope over like a piece of fixing or a kill spell?
Oh, that should have been the stipulation.
What?
That would have been so much fun. Clue Tribal. Like, you have to take all the items from, Clue.
All these garbage equipment items. Oh man, I died to Wrench in the semis of the RCQ. Like, this was the card that I literally lost to.
It's amazing.
One felt bad.
It's a great card.
Felt real bad. Look, it outplayed me. I mean, they tapped down some of my stuff, swung it. I forgot that it gave the thing Vigilance, which was embarrassing. Mm. I've just never seen this card on the battlefield before.
Why would
my opponent played on turn one of game three? I was like, oh my god, I'm going to the RC.
Nice.
And this is what I get for undervaluing Wrench. Since then, I've actually played it and won with it. So,
all right.
Oops, I took the Panther, piece of fixing over other stuff. Oh my god, now this is garbage. Okay. In any case, what else have you been doing with your time? Do you find yourself more interested in anything that's not Magic? Like, I don't want this to seem like it's coming off as like a tisk tisk, like you've decided to depart, because like I don't think this is going to ultimately change that many. There will be some big changes happening, but at least about our interpersonal dynamic, you're still gonna be one of my best friends. Like, leaving Magic and leaving the show, we'll just have to find other excuses to talk to each other. We don't live that far away. Gotta go get dinner in Hoboken or something.
Yeah, and I still think, like, and I mentioned this to Ben when I brought the topic back up recently, like over the last few weeks. I'm probably still gonna be playing pre-releases from time to time. I don't think I'll go to all of them anymore, but pre-release is fun. It's a way that Ben and I get to see each other in person and hang out and have that excuse to do so. And like that in and of itself is worth going to pre-release, even if I'm not particularly excited about a given set. But so that'll still be a thing. And I think Magic's one of those games that's really hard to get away from for forever, you know? Like, eventually I'm sure I'll play it. Like, I'll be back. So I'm not saying that like I'll never come back to the game, but right now it's just not something. So to answer your question though, something what I've been spending my time on more, a lot of relationship building, whether that's with friends. I have a girlfriend now, so a lot of my time's going to spending time with her, planning dates and things like that. Reading, I've been reading a lot more, writing a lot more, and working out. My like workout slash diet plan is like taking up a lot of headspace, and it's fun. Like I'm enjoying it, but that is something that I'm putting a lot of attention into. And then work has eaten up a lot more of my free time. So I just have less of it overall.
So, there are some questions that this all begs. What's happening in the draft, Chaff? And I guess we didn't really decide whether this is objectively good or bad news. I think we'll just call it news. And that's that there's going to be a shift in the way the show works. There's going to be one more podcast episode after that. Which next week's show is going to be a fun one. You don't want to miss that. It's going to be a bit of a walk down memory lane for us. There's going to be a bit of a shift, and we're going to be swapping. I guess I should say I'm going to be swapping to YouTube content, where there are some other bigger names out there that have actually made a kind of like carved out a good space for limited on YouTube nowadays. And I'm hearing that more and more people want to go there just to see live drafts or breakdowns or walkthroughs or whatever it may be. And, I don't know, toot my own horn or anything, but I've gotten pretty good and I'm kind of at the best I've ever been at this point. And I feel like this is kind of a perfect time because while I'm at a good place competitively, I'm also having a lot of fun just doing garbage nonsense, like whatever this, like I'm about to take a magnetic snuffler and I might actually play it. I played this in a deck earlier this week and it wasn't actually that bad. Speaking of which, oh, this is bad. These two are basically garbage. I could take a coveted falcon and just play it face down forever. Just like literally never flip it up. Or maybe I like splash blue somehow off the topiary panther. I do have the gravestone strider. I don't think assemble the players is actually playable at all. Even if you have creatures with power two or less. I'll take the falcon. Okay, a bunch of uncommons here. Guess get a leg up is going to be fine. I mean, what's our creature count? Oh yeah, we're fine on creatures and stuff. I'll take some stuff here.
Assuming you're playing all of them, but
I don't even know what's really happening. I'm just going to take a tunnel. Oh wait, that broke the stipulation. I just like Tunnel Tipster. Oh, this is a branch of Vidugazi deck for sure. This thing helps you splash. Oh, we got there. Killer Among Us. Perfect. We're gonna get to flip. Case of the Shattered Pact every time with this thing. Makes a green, red, blue, and white permanent. So all you gotta do is make a black thing and then you're good. I promise whatever comes out on YouTube will actually be solid quality. not this. This is sort of like the tail end. But ultimately we're still gonna be drafting Chaff. This has some other implications. The Discord is not going anywhere. The Patreon is going to have a couple reworks. There's some things that need to happen to some of the tiers. And honestly, if those of us who are patrons listening, if you say, all right, Zach was my pull, I'm out. That Ben guy, no, I don't want to support him. Entire respect. We thank you for your kindness in supporting our nonsense. And that being said,
somehow I don't think that'll be the case. Do you remember back? I think it was like the first month of us doing the show. We got a review on Apple Podcasts or Apple, whatever it was called at the time. I think it was iTunes still. And someone basically said like one of the hosts sounds like they know their stuff and are very energetic and really enjoy the game. And the other one might just be his friend. And we both were like, okay, which one's he talking about?
Yikes. Well, in any case, next week, what's going to happen is at the same time as our last official podcast episode comes out, a companion episode will be going out on YouTube and the podcast in episode number will continue. I'm not really going to call it a podcast anymore. I'm just going to keep calling episodes mostly for my own personal continuity's sake. I like hitting milestones like that and kind of keeping track of how many weeks we've been doing this for. So there will be weekly episodes going up on YouTube and past that, I think I'm going to set up some Patreon stretch goals, maybe some subscriber stretch goals too. Ones where if stuff goes well, maybe it turns into two or three episodes a week. I'm a full-time high school teacher. I can't promise much more than that, but I think that'd be something cool to work towards. And I'm having a lot of fun playing these sets right now. Arena is a good place to be, but it might not just be Arena. It might be some vintage cube action. Who knows? Maybe once in a while I'll upload a constructed video as a bonus just because I dabble in standards sometimes. I know, scary. But the show will go on because honestly, the first thing we talked about when this came up was like, all right, well, what kind of happens to like the community and all that? Like, right. Are we just going to leave them out to dry? I don't think either of us really want that. Zach's going to stay a mod. He'll still yep. see everything going on in Discord. He'll still be hanging out. And I'll be sure to tag him whenever I cast the Sphinxes Rev or something like that. So the show will go on for bounty boards and a lot of the cool Patreon perks like the stickers and all that stuff. That all is still happening. The Draft Chaff Cube, unaffected, that's still going to exist. I got it right. I have it out for, well, I'm not going to spoil that. We still have big stuff planned in the future, but all that said, it's a little daunting venturing out on my own, but I'm excited for it. And I just pray to God my students don't find the channel, because if they do, I mean, they make like edits of me already. I don't want to see what happens after that.
They found the show?
Yeah, well, even just like sometimes they'll take a picture of me in class and they'll show me later with like all these like kawaii edits on it. I'm like, why are you people doing this? Like, what's happening here?
Yikes.
Yeah, anyway, patrons, there will likely be some revamps coming. So keep an eye out for slight adjustments to certain tiers and values, and I'll try to be as transparent about that as I possibly can. And for those who want to support me as I venture into the brave YouTube unknown, thanks. I really appreciate it. And I am very open to your input. If there's certain things you'd like to see more on a YouTube side than things that I couldn't do here previously because of the limitations of video versus just audio, well, I don't know. Maybe we can get some cool editing or some more live features. More live streams could be happening. YouTube has some pretty good live stream support. Although they did take away the early access event that I'd like to stream. So whatever, who knows?
Yeah, I mean, I think that's something that I definitely want to be clear about. Ben and I did not have a falling out. We are not like hate. We don't hate each other. We're not like,
well,
wait, maybe we should have done that for the drama. Could we really like play that up?
That would have been awesome.
No, but in all seriousness, I mean, like, I'm definitely going to be checking out Ben's content as the show continues. We're going to keep the Draft Chaff, like Ben's take, like keeping all the Draft Chaff branding. It's going to stay the way it is in terms of that. It's just shifting from a podcast on like traditional podcasting platforms to more video style content on YouTube. So you'll still be able to get all your chaffiness and tips and tricks from Ben here. And who knows, maybe I'll pop in for a cameo every now and then.
I think I'll be able to convince you.
Yeah. So, I mean, that's kind of where we're at, right? I think it's been a pretty crazy ride. I again don't think we ever actually expected the show to last 4 years, 5 years, you know. Well, we didn't really have any expectations for the show at all, but
this is almost more like a change, right? And we actually talked about this maybe in a very different light with Circubits, and talking about the in the light of this very arbitrary change from draft to play boosters. But I think we should approach it with this with a similar mindset. This is one thing changing, right? An ending, a beginning, and start of something new, and hopefully it goes well. I think not unlike this draft deck, where there's some good in this deck. There's some real good, and there's some.
It's a literal 0.0 from Channel Fireball.
There's some others too, and like this deck, perhaps our podcast. It's always had some upsides and downsides to it, but ultimately it is beautiful and it is definitely Draft Chaff. So,
well, with that said, like, comment, and subscribe if you want to see Ben do all sorts of shenanigans over on YouTube. Yeah,
get that in there.
I had to get that one in there. You're going to be able to actually say that and it means something.
I'm just not going to say it anymore. That's all.
It's just done. The bit's dead. Okay. Great. Well, yeah, really, thank you, listener, for sticking around. Whether this is your first episode or your last, like, you've been around forever, we really appreciate you kind of tuning in and just checking out the show. And yeah, again, fully endorse Ben and what he's doing with taking the Draft Chaff brand onto YouTube. So go support him there. Again, the community's not going anywhere. Discord is still up. The Patreon's still around, though. Like Ben said, that's going to be changing just to match some of the things he can do over there with YouTube a little bit better. And yeah, I mean, I look forward to seeing the community continue to grow and be what it is, because we really do have an amazing community over in the Discord. So thanks for making the show really awesome to do for this long, listener. And Ben, I mean, you've been a great co-host, so it's been a lot of fun to be able to do this with you. And who knows what the future has in store. Okay, all right,
you're not too bad yourself.
Well, thank you. I guess with that, Teferi Tybalt.
Yeah, let's get into it.
All right, this is our Roses and Thorns style segment where Ben and I share a high and a low from the past week. Ben, what's going on? I mean, well, besides all the stuff we just talked about.
Yeah, the Tybalt, the podcast is ending. No, it's not. We just addressed all this. It's not. It's changing. That's all. So that's actually a Teferi. And that I could see this being a Tybalt, and that it was a big bummer. And some of my friends that I've offhandedly mentioned this to, like, have been like, oh man, like, are you upset about this or sad? I've been like, nah, I mean, sad in some regards, in the way that, you know, sort of like you're sad in the way when you leave college. It's like, yeah, I know I should be sad about this. This means a lot to me. I put a lot of time and effort into this thing. But that doesn't mean that the thing that comes next can't be similar or just as enjoyable. Mm-hmm. I would say that was this is a Teferi. And also a Teferi this week was that school's pretty easy. I actually have 2 days off this week for mandatory trainings and such. So that's weird, but kind of nice. I don't usually get a break from the school daily drudge like that. But Tybalt this week, actually, man, a lot of these are kind of highs and lows rolled into one. To Fibbles, if you will. this one was the RCQ this past weekend. This might sound like a broken record, but I made top four of an RCQ playing for the RC invite, and I lost. And that stung, because I said the exact same thing on the show last week, if you recall.
It's true.
I had an even better sealed deck this week than last week. This week, my sealed deck was actually really good. It had Doppelgang, Alquist Proft, Lazav, double Coerce the Kill, the Black Wrath. I even opened multiple on-color dual lands. The person who registered my deck for Comp Ariel, you like have to register your person across from his pool. They were looking at it like, oh my god, dude. Like, multiple times they had to be reminded that they can't comment on decks or pool contents, because they just kept going like, what? It was funny. I made top eight pretty easily with that deck. And then from there, drafted a fine blue-white detectives deck. The deck wasn't really that open. There were other people that were in white. White was contested, as it always is. Red-green was super open. I probably should have been in red-green, but no one ended up taking red-green. So I don't know. That might have been a side note, but it was a bit of a weird draft because of that. Anyway, I kind of choked in game three of the game I had to win. I hate to say it, but part of it was RNG. Part of it was me just getting tired after like 9 or 10 hours of tournament at that point. And I made some not necessarily incorrect plays, but definitely not my best. And I think had I played that a little better, I probably could have walked away going to Dallas in the summer. So, hey, there's another one next weekend. And well, I'm going to try again, because I've been doing pretty well at the set. I enjoy it. I like playing it. And as long as I enjoy it, I'm going to keep doing it.
Are there usually this many back to back like that?
I mean, they're all different game stores. This one was Hex and Company in the city, which nice place. New World Manga was the previous. This next one, I don't even know. I don't know. I'll have to double check. Anyway, what's up with you?
So for me, I guess I'll start with my Tybalt. My Tybalt is that I am exhausted. I've been burning the candle at both ends for far too long lately, and also have managed to decrease my water intake, so I'm generally dehydrated, which doesn't help the like lack of sleep and overworking myself. So that's a Tybalt for sure. Not feeling my best right now. I just know I need more rest, I need more fluids, and well, I'm drinking plenty of coffee, but coffee's a diuretic, so that doesn't really help.
Nah, that counts. There's water in coffee.
Yeah, but it's a diuretic, so you're just flushing your system constantly. You can't retain any of it.
You sound like when Mia told me I had to drink something besides just 3 cups of coffee in one day. No, it's liquid.
Well, in any case, that's my Tybalt, which, as far as things go, not the worst in the world. My Teferi is that if you live in the Northeast right now, if you live in the New York area, it was beautiful today. I walked out of office and like, my office doesn't have any windows. Like the area that I sit in doesn't have any windows. So I didn't really notice, but I could see on my like weather app that it was nice out. And I walked outside and like felt like a weight was lifted off of me. I just immediately was happier. It's also amazing to see how the New York area changes from winter to spring, because like in the winter, everybody's miserable. Everybody hates everybody. And it's just like, nobody wants to look at you or talk to you. And as soon as the sun comes up and the weather gets a little bit warmer, everybody's just got this air of like happiness about them. And it's just nice to
totally
see that.
Totally true.
It's the city completely like changed that way. So that's great. I'm very excited. Spring is on the horizon. I don't think it's here yet. I'm not going to go that far, but this week does look pretty nice. Like this week coming up is looking pretty good. So we'll see. I mean, we did have a year, maybe 5 years ago, where it snowed on Mother's Day. So I'm trying not to get my hopes up too crazy. Things tend to shift pretty quickly here. But the other part of my table, the other part of my Teferi is that I went to this place called Patent Pending. Ben, have you heard of this place in the city?
No, what is it?
Okay. Oh, it's phenomenal. So it's a speakeasy, which I love. And the front of the speakeasy is a place called Patent Coffee. It's a coffee shop. Mm-hmm. And at night, the coffee shop closes. So you walk into like what looks like you think it's a closed coffee shop, because it is.
Interesting.
But doesn't look open. So like I accidentally walked into the store next to it because I thought it was closed. Like I thought I couldn't get in.
Huh.
So I went in, and then the back wall, which is normally their menu, like slides to the side, and you can sneak in behind the wall. And it's like this really cool, it's designed, like the space inside is designed to like showcase, it's like the building where Edison did a bunch of his studying and stuff. So it's got all these like patents.
It's like his patent office?
Kind of. Yeah. It looks like it may have been a bunker at some point. So like, which kind of makes sense given the stuff he was working on. And so it's got a really cool vibe. Like everything's electricity themed and like,
oh, this sounds cool. I'm gonna have to hit this
it's
up.
It's really great. And we got there at like 7:30 or something. So it was like we were able to basically just walk in, but as we were leaving, it was packed. Like there was a huge line out the door and stuff. So definitely get there early if you are trying to go, but
interesting.
It was a really, really cool spot. So highly recommend. The drinks are really expensive though. It's like $30 a cocktail, but
jeez. Yeah. All right, I guess you're paying for the vibes.
You're paying for the vibes for sure. And the cocktails are all very interesting. They have like pretty unique stuff, so that was great. It was a really fun weekend. All right. Well, that about does it for us this week. Thank you so much for listening. Do check out the Discord if you haven't already. Again, it's the best place to be to chat all things MTG. Patrons, we love you. Thank you so much for your support. If you'd like to support the show directly and you're not already a patron, you can go to patreon.com/draftshaftpod to check that out. And you can find us on Twitter or X or whatever at draftshaftpod. Stick around for next week, because next week's episode is going to be a fun one. Whether you've been listening to the show for a while or you're just starting to check it out, next week's episode is one you're not going to want to miss.
And honestly, let us know in Discord your thoughts, reactions. Get in there and yell at Zach or wave him a fond goodbye. Your call.
I can take it. That's it. Thanks, folks. And we'll catch you next week.
Okay, one last thing. The Oscars happened.
This is true.
Was a relatively uneventful Oscars. Did you watch by any chance?
I didn't watch. I've seen like bits and pieces, little highlight reels and such. I think it wasn't really like, it was one that there were no shakeups. Everybody who won, it was expected to win. So
yeah. Maybe a couple entertaining bits. John Cena coming out quote unquote naked on stage was pretty great. That was a very good bit.
Jimmy I saw Kimmel, everybody online was like, what are you talking about? I just see like a floating sign.
Yeah.
Because you know, John Cena.
What else? Oh, I actually thought John Mulaney's bit, a complicated feeling.
Oh, I didn't even know he was there.
Oh, yeah. He did a little introduction for one of the one of the spots. And honestly, much better at hosting than Jimmy Kimmel. Not a big fan of Jimmy. Jimmy clearly hates movies and didn't want to be there, but I don't know. He was like making fun of the run times and like, it was like, all right, do you know your audience here? Like, this is everyone who loves movies. This is not the humor you should be going for. Mulaney's bit was like, for the love of movies. I don't know. That's a different topic, but Oppenheimer crushed it.
Oh yeah.
Took home a bunch, including Best Picture, which I believe it fully deserved.
Best Director too. Finally, Nolan gets a Best Director Oscar. Like, come on.
Yeah. Yeah. That being said, Scorsese for Killers of the Flower Moon wouldn't have been a bad pick either. I had some other ones that I was pretty happy with. Poor Things, which is a fascinating movie. I just watched it for the first
time.
That's
the Emma Stone, Mark Ruffalo one?
Yeah. Directed by Yorgos Lanthimos, who he has this sort of sliding scale of how messed up his movies are. And there are some that are... This, for context, Poor Things, I think, is actually kind of right in the middle of, I think, the five or so that I've seen of his. And The Favorite swept some of the Oscars maybe 3 or 4 years ago. That's an excellent movie, and it's not very screwed up. He also has movies like Dogtooth and Killing of the Sacred Deer, which we're dealing with some topics that I wouldn't even begin to talk about on this podcast, for both fear of demonetization and because there's maybe people under the age of 18 to listen to this. And honestly, these things go dark. But Poor Things is beautiful. It's excellent. And it's a real good test in media literacy to see some people reacting to it in the way that they have. I was very happy to see it won a couple things here and there. I think it won, maybe it wasn't costume design, but it might have been makeup or something pertaining to this. The only other one that I wanted to comment on was animated feature. Not a ton of stiff competition this year. I'd never even heard of Robot Dreams. Nimona, I've heard, is solid. I never watched Elemental. But really, it was between Spider-Man Across the Spider-Verse and Boy and the Heron. And I think Boy and the Heron correctly won. That was awesome. Such a good movie. Highly recommend for anyone that haven't seen it out there. Oh yeah, makeup and hairstyling. Poor Things did win that.
So one thing about Poor Things that I love that came out of the show, that movie being remotely popular, right, was there have been these lists floating around, and my favorite ones is somebody made a list on Letterboxd. Are you familiar with Letterboxd?
Yeah.
So for the listener, if you're not familiar with Letterboxd, it's essentially Goodreads for movies. Like, you can write reviews and keep track of the ones you've seen and ones you want to watch and stuff like that. Someone made a list on Letterboxd, which is titled Movies Where the Hulk Has Kissed Spider-Man's Girlfriend. And it's just movies where someone who has played the Hulk plays a part that kisses or makes out with or whatever. Someone who has played the part of Spider-Man's girlfriend in a different movie. There are two of them.
I was going to say, how many are there?
But the fact that there are two is kind of fascinating.
If I had a nickel.